This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
New data has urged that it's time for immediate action to combat HIV amongst Indigenous Australians, with the news that newly diagnosed HIV rates amongst Australian-born non-Indigenous people decreased by 22%, from 3.7 per 100,000 in the population to 2.9 per 100,000 in the population between 2012 and 2016. But there is a 33% increase in new cases of HIV diagnosis in Indigenous people, from 4.8 per 100,000 people in 2012 to 6.4 in 2016. An article in the Medical Journal of Australia released this week shows that the rates of HIV diagnosis amongst Indigenous Australians is more than double the rate for non-Indigenous people for the first time since the full data was collected in 1992. If we want to get our HIV rates down, we need to approach a treatment and prevention plan that targets every Australian. Dina Curie speaks to one of the authors of the article, James Ward, who is the head of infectious disease research at the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute.
It could be an artefact of the data for the last 5 years, but I'm pretty confident that we've had such a strong focus on prevention and engagement with the new biomedical approaches to prevention in HIV in Australia that it has had a significant impact on the rate of diagnoses in the non-Aboriginal population, and we haven't had the same emphasis in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So I think what's required is a bit of a shift in in our focus to try and get some better outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with HIV. So the two big things I think that are really have been the game changers, I think, particularly over the last 5 years, the treatment as prevention kind of agenda, which is, about people getting to an undetectable viral level and reducing transmission risk. And then the other one is PrEP, obviously. And I think in both of those areas, we haven't done so well in engagement of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and we need to do much better. PrEP has really been rolled out in Australia in a trial environment, and more recently has gone into implementation through normal pharmaceutical supply. And I think the messaging has been a bit slow to get to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities.
Do you think part of the problem isn't just that the messaging has been slow, but also the message hasn't necessarily been targeting those communities in the right way?
Yeah, so if you look at most of the PrEP trials around Australia, in most of the jurisdictions, a few of them are missing, but most of the jurisdictions have been focused around the large metropolitan centres like Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and Queensland will argue that they've been up and down the East Coast. But for a lot of Aboriginal people, they more minority live in those larger centres, and there's a greater proportion of our population that live in regional areas as well as remote areas. And I think although the rates of diagnoses are low out in those areas, the messaging hasn't got out there in terms of PrEP. But also I think that we have a large portion of our population who is living with HIV that are not engaged as well in care and on treatment and reaching undetectable viral load. And that's for a range of different reasons that we can only speculate, but we don't know for sure. And some of those reasons might be about medication overall and its approach, the Western approach to treatment of disease. Secondly, about access to care, about payments to financial barriers that might prohibit people from accessing treatment. It might be about people taking breaks from treatment, or it might be that people just not get engaged in HIV care after their diagnosis. So, I think we've got a lot of work to do with some of the positive population in the Aboriginal community, for sure. And the other thing that we do know is, based on modelling, there's a greater proportion of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people living with HIV who are not yet diagnosed. And that's based on late diagnoses. It's kind of modelled on late diagnoses, number of notifications in different population priority groups, for instance, IDU, people in general. drugs and heterosexual people. So we speculate that about 18% of people living with HIV who are Aboriginal are not yet diagnosed, and that compares to about 8% in the non-Aboriginal population. So it's kind of this three-way risk, I guess, that's probably contributing to these increases in HIV diagnoses that we're seeing in communities over the last 5 years.
In relation to the Indigenous communities, when you're looking at the data, was the level of HIV transmission specific to the men who have sex with men or heterosexual communities, or was this just a narrative that we really need to look at across the board?
Yeah, no, it's a very different epidemiological profile for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are diagnosed with HIV compared to non-Aboriginal people. So in Australia, about just over 80% of the diagnoses that occur in non-Aboriginal populations occur among men who have sex with men. And for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population, it's just over 50%. So that means 40%, 46% of our diagnoses, really, are in heterosexual people. And that between that 46%, about half of those diagnoses occur because of heterosexually acquired sex, and the other half occur because of people who inject drugs, heterosexual people who inject drugs. And so there are two very different risk groups there, and that's probably where a good example where the biomedical approaches are not reaching into the population enough. So PrEP currently is not reaching heterosexual people at risk unless you've got a partner, perhaps. And also people who inject drugs are not classified as a risk factor for PrEP unless you've got a partner who's living with HIV and you're not. So that's a kind of a neat example of where we're not reaching populations. And because of this different epidemiological profile, these biomedical approaches are not impacting enough in our population.
It really does speak to the fact that when we've been combating this, we have really taken a Western approach to it, and it's really important for us to make sure that we're taking a whole effect when we're looking at the health of the entire of Australia's community, specifically the Indigenous community.
About 90% of the diagnoses of HIV that occur in Australia are among, firstly, non-Aboriginal people, and then among men who have sex with men make up about 80% of the diagnoses in Australia. So it makes good sense to focus efforts in on MSM, but it shouldn't be at the cost of other populations who are at risk of HIV. And I guess the article that we published in MJA this week is really to try and make sure that we don't forget about these other populations at high risk of HIV, and that we put some effort into promotion of these new biomedical approaches, or these new advances in HIV prevention, to make sure that those populations benefit as much as the MSM population in Australia. It's not like one or other. I think everyone needs to have access to these biomedical approaches. And given that there are lots of socio-economic and cultural determinants that impact on HIV transmission in Aboriginal communities, it's even more reason why we need to divert some of our attention or put further effort into making sure that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities are not left behind in this area. We need to continue our, you know, the more traditional methods of prevention of HIV, condoms, clean needles, education, awareness in communities. I think that shouldn't be dropped off the agenda because we've got new biomedical approaches. We should be really trying to increase our efforts in what's commonly known as combination prevention, which is, you know, the new biomedical approaches to HIV prevention alongside the traditional ones that have been rolled out for the last 30 years, which is condom use and needle syringe programs and so forth.
That was Dean Arcuri speaking with James Ward, head of the Infectious Disease Research at South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.